and I'm jumping over to comm, because when we're live, I'm in comm. So I'm just going to press over here, SSH over. Then we're going to go ahead and type comm at the Anon Radio, or at the SDF login. Then press G for go to, type Anon Radio, then hit enter. Boom. And then just like that, you're in the Anon Radio room. And then you can hang out with the cool people. You know, we got X1 in the chat for sure. Joined and left. Hey, you went to Dreamland. Dreamland's where I go whenever I leave for the day. But it's going to be a good time. We got a lot of news today. I am drinking my tea of the day. Today, I'm drinking Dongfan Myrin. It's also, I think it's called Eastern Beauty or Eastern Delight. It's pretty good. Interesting fact, this is an insect tea. So what happens is they let this bug feed on the tea plant, and terpenes are released in the bitten leaves, which creates a sweeter taste. So I thought it's pretty good. I actually bought this a while ago. I bought a big bag of it a while ago because I think Tope was drinking some. And that was really when I started drinking different Chinese teas. So big shout out to that. Oh, and Ratsu's here. Hello, hello. Welcome. It looks like we got Koenig and Akuja. Bronzy is probably asleep. MD and Tobe. Everybody, lots of people, and Jazzmaz, lots of people in the room. Not sure if they're on the stream. But let's go. Let's do it. Oh, shucks. I need to sync. Doot. Sync. Sorry, my tabs are all out of order, so we gotta fix that. Otherwise, we're gonna be doing our news in a weird way. Because believe it or not, I don't read world news just by itself and then read the other stuff later. I read it all jumbled up, and then I sort my all the stories I'm gonna read later. So. What is going on? Aha, figured it out. Sorry about that. We have 6 tech stories today, so it was kind of a surprise. I was like, what is going on? What's with all these tabs? Oh, it's just because there's tech news. Tech news. Anyway, we got to start this. We got to get going. We've already almost 4 minutes in, and it's like the DGC over here. We haven't even started. We're just kind of talking about tea. Got to get over that. Let's go into our
world news.
Yep. Oh, yeah. World news. Well, I guess I shouldn't have gotten so hyped up, because the very first headline, things will get worse. Yep, that's what's starting us off. Reuters is reporting London, the world's international financial capital, will enter a tighter COVID-19 lockdown from midnight on Friday as Prime Minister Boris Johnson seeks to tackle a swiftly accelerating second wave. The respiratory pandemic, which emerged in China last year and has killed over 1 million people worldwide, is spreading in most parts of Britain, whose official death toll is 43,155, and is the highest in Europe. Anger, though, is rising over the economic, social, and health costs of the biggest curtailment of freedom since World War II. One former government advisor warned some people would have trouble clothing their children soon. Health Secretary Matt Hancock said London, which has a population of 9 million, as well as the adjacent heavily populated county of Essex, would be put on high alert level, up from medium, at 1 minute past midnight. So that's 2301 GMT. So, yeah, the main impact of the move to high is that people cannot meet out other households socially indoors, like at home or in a restaurant, and travel should be reduced where possible. So pretty wild there. We jump over to Garden, another UK kind of based place. We got some Israel news. This is another sad one here. The headline, Blood and Tears as Israel Police Storm Wedding. So an Israeli wedding in a settlement outside Jerusalem ended with a bloody fight and sobbing guests after police stormed in to break it up, accusing the family of flouting coronavirus lockdown rules. Footage of police dragging the bride's brother out of a house, blood streaming down his face as he is escorted past a white cloth table set with flowers has led to outrage in the government, and an investigation has been opened. The family, who lived in the occupied West Bank settlement of Kfar Saif, accused officers of attacking guests at the celebration on Wednesday night and said they had been respecting lockdown regulations that limit gatherings to 20 people. Police said an officer was attacked by the woman who owns the house after she was asked to present identification, at which point other guests began throwing glass oil bottles at the unit. Police said they arrested the man with a bloodied face in the video after he threw oil and then slipped on it. During the arrest, both an officer and the police slipped on the oil and was injured by the broken glass, police said in a statement. And then there is a video. It was posted on Twitter. I'm sure it's a hot mess. So, what are you going to do? Ugh. But that's what's happening. People throwing bottles of oil at the cops. That headline really got me worried. And it was like, when I read it, I said, oh, this is a nice break from the terrible kind of stuff we usually read. But don't worry. It's time to get back into our feelings. Coronavirus. French police raid minister's home in pandemic inquiry. This is coming to us from the BBC. French police have raided the homes of senior government and health officials as part of an investigation into their handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Health Minister Olivier Véran and the director of the National Health Agency, Jerome Salomon, are among those whose properties were searched on Thursday. The raids came after the court launched an inquiry earlier this year into the government's handling of the pandemic. It's faced criticism over the shortages of equipment and slow response times. Prime Minister Jean Castex is also under investigation. French media report as his predecessor Edouard Philippe and Mr. Véran's predecessor Agnès Buzyn. I think they're just putting those names in there to mess with me. Anyway, welcome, AGK. Welcome, welcome. So we keep on a rolling. We're back to routers, and we're looking at Malta. So when a bomb exploded on the island of Malta 3 years ago, killing a campaigning journalist, Daphne Caruana Galiza, copy and paste that name. Yeah, if only there was 409 there in the Gaza Strip, they could have gotten some help. When a bomb exploded on the island of 3 years ago, killing a campaigning journalist, Daphne Caruana Galiza, it sent a tremor across Europe, seeming to sum up growing criminal threat to those who challenge corruption. In the days after the October 16, 2017 attack, family and friends questioned whether the murderers would ever be found. In the previous 15 years, there had been 27 other criminal explosions on Malta that had killed 5 people. Only 2 of the cases had been solved. Fast forward 3 years, and while no one has been convicted, 3 men have been charged with planning and triggering the bomb, while one of the country's richest businessmen, Jorgen Finnick, is in jail, accused of masterminding her death. They all deny the charges. So, viva Las Vegas. We'll keep on rolling. They do figure it out. A lot of times in corrupt places, it's hard to get convictions. Just look at the cops here in the U.S. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, AGK. Let's jump over to Sweden. We're going to ask the Guardian here. Sweden is going to increase military spending by 40% as tensions with Russia grows. Yep, Sweden is going to increase spending by 40% in the next 5 years and then double the number of people conscripted into its armed forces as it aims to strengthen its defense amid growing tensions with Russia. The country, which is not a member of NATO but enjoys close ties with the alliance, ran down its military forces after the Cold War to save money. We have a situation where the Russian side is willing to use military means to achieve political goals, the defense minister, Peter Hultqvist, told reporters on Thursday. Based on that, we have a new geopolitical security situation to deal with. He said the new proposals would mean an increase in the military budget of 27.5 billion Swedish kroner to... Oh, an increase in the military budget of 27.5 billion Swedish kroner, which is 3.1 billion US dollars by 2025. Increased Russian activity in the Baltic Sea region has pushed Sweden into a hasty program of rearmament, including buying Patriot missiles from the U.S. Last month, Stockholm protested to Moscow after 2 warships entered its territorial waters without permission, and it has repeatedly complained about Russian military planes flying too close to its own aircraft and violating Swedish airspace. So that's pretty wild right there. The big thing, the numbers here, is that they're going to increase from, they're going to fund an expansion of military personnel to about 90,000 from 60,000 people, including a new mechanized brigade with upgraded artillery. And if we ask the internet, how many soldiers in U.S. military? I think there's a bunch, so I'm like, how many? Let's find out. Drum roll. What does Wikipedia say? Personnel. Here we go. The total active U.S. soldiers is 1,347,106 and 807,562 in the reserves. So that's military. Then they have enlisted and officer totals. So I'm not sure what the difference is, but we'll just say that going up to 90,000 is... the U.S. Coast Guard has 42,000, so two Coast Guards. a little too much, right? All right, let's jump over to routers. We've got so much world news going on. It's going bananas. Major parties in Kashmir unite to fight for a return to autonomy. So Kashmir is up there in the north part of India, and it has, I think it's Islamic, if I remember right, because they got cut off from the world earlier this year. Let's find out. Kashmir's main political parties announced a grand alliance on Thursday to seek a peaceful restoration of its autonomy after India's release of the last major Kashmiri political leader from lengthy detention. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government revoked the Muslim-majority region's special status last year, cracked down on opposition, and rounded up hundreds of people to forestall protests. On Tuesday, the government ordered the release of Mehbooba Mufti after a 14-month detention, and she and other leaders promptly called for a campaign to restore Kashmir's special rights. So very, very serious business there. Whenever this first happened, I was getting the newspaper, and it was really, really sad news because a lot of people couldn't get their medicine or... other like important products because they were cut off from the internet. So I'm glad they're going to get their stuff back. Well, Turpin DJ. This is a good reminder time to let you know that the Doobie Skulls Committee with Tobes coming up at the bottom of the hour at 19:30 UTC. That's every day. I'm only here Monday through Friday, but the Tobe with the DGC is here every day. So don't miss it. Here's something a little lighter. A film trailer touches nerves as Mexico grapples with race and class. The 2-minute promo for movie New Order features an uprising of a darker-skinned underclass against a lighter-skinned elite. The scene is a society wedding in Mexico where smartly dressed guests are toasting the newlyweds in grounds of a luxury home. The celebration is interrupted by a group of interlopers, and the scene quickly descends into violence and terror. The dystopian tone continues throughout the 2-minute clip promoting the movie New Order, which depicts the imposition of military rule in Mexico after a bloody uprising by the country's underclass. Check out theguardian.com for a full review, but it was definitely something that I found to be interesting, and if you're into movies or cinema and stuff, it's something to check out. And it's not from the U.S., and I always enjoy... political movies outside the U.S. They're kind of interesting. So let's talk about something good. Good news for you. Planes carrying prisoners exchanged by the warring parties in Yemen took off from 3 airports on Thursday in an operation to return about 1,000 men home and help build the trust to enable fresh talks to end the war. The Saudi-led military coalition and Yemeni's Houthi movement agreed last month in Switzerland to exchange 1,081 prisoners, including 15 Saudis, and the largest swap of its kind in the 5-year-old conflict. Pretty cool, all right? Yeah, can be pretty good. Well, you know what? We're going to play a song because I'm kind of pooping out. I want to drink some more tea. You know how it goes. Sometimes you just want to do it. So let's see what we got. Let's see what we got in our little bag of tricks here. Do do do. Ah. This song is called Television.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. And we've got about 11 minutes to go, so don't go anywhere. After us, it's Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is a fun show. You definitely should check it out. So, I've got one more fun world story, just because I thought it was kind of funny. Italian police have seized more than 4,000 counterfeit bottles of prestigious Super Tuscan wine that can fetch up to €360 a bottle. The operation, called Bad Tuscan, led to the arrests of two people with 11 others under investigation for allegedly counterfeiting one of the storied red wines, Bulgari Sasikaya by Tenuta San Guido. So, pretty... Anyway, I just thought it was pretty cool because it was called Super Tuscan Wine, which I had never heard of, and anytime something's called super, I think it's an interesting time. So let's go ahead here and talk about
time for tech news.
That's right. Let's talk about some tech news. We've got a few stories here. We've got six of them to run by you real quick. First up, from The Guardian, private firms provide software and information to police, documents show. So scores of private actors of private firms, consultants, and non-government organizations have provided software, equipment, training, and information to law enforcement agencies in a burgeoning profit-making industry, according to documents from the so-called Blue Leaks information dump. The documents show how private actors from major corporations to small-scale contractors have aided police in militarizing their operations, expanding surveillance capacities, and pursuing the so-called war on drugs. Those firms not directly profiting from their interactions with police can often be seen attempting to influence the agenda of law enforcement or prioritizing police interests over those of their customers. So, pretty wild. There's a lot of stuff in that Blue Leaks. Documents reveal that police are training in the use of military and surveillance technologies, of which there may be little public awareness. The 2013 flyer advertises training on the FATS L7, so it's it's FATS, but it's an acronym. So it's like Foxtrot Alpha Tango Sierra Lima 7 Firearms Training Simulator by two drug enforcement bodies, the New England High Intensity Drug Trafficking Arena and the Northeast Counter Drug Training Center. So, they've got just a whole bunch of it. What is it, this thing, though? It is, well, it's a firearms simulator. It's an adapted version of military firearms training simulators and allows users to train either in marksmanship or in a judgmental mode for heightened situational awareness. So, pretty wild. Yep. Legalize it all. Well, Twitter, Facebook are kind of getting in the news because they're limiting sharing of a New York Post about Joe Biden. So Twitter and Facebook are both limiting distribution of a New York Post story about emails purportedly suggesting that Joe Biden met with top executives from Burisma Holdings, a Ukrainian gas company. This is an old hashed out, this is a tired theory that has been bandied about for a while. Facebook communications executive said the site would limit distribution of the article and fact check it, while Twitter prevented the link from being shared in tweets or direct messages. Coverage from most left and some center-rated sources focused more on the Post piece, sometimes framing it as controversial and dubiously sourced. Right-rated outlets generally covered the limitations more prominently, often framing the moves from Twitter and Facebook as examples of unjust censorship. So, that's what's going on there. And a superconductor. Material raises hope of an energy revolution. This is from the BBC. Scientists have found the first material that displays a much sought-after property at room temperature. That's right. It's superconducting, which means electrical current flows through it with perfect efficiency, with no energy wasted as heat. At the moment, a lot of energy we generate is lost because of heat. So room temperature superconducting materials could revolutionize the electrical grid. Till this point, achieving superconductivity required cooling materials to very low temperatures or to really high temperatures. When the property was discovered in 1911, it was found only at close to the temperature known as absolute zero. Since then, physicists have found materials that superconduct at higher, but still very cold temperatures. Yeah, 15 degrees C, I think, is what the report I saw said. The team behind the latest discovery says it's a major advance in a search that has already gone on for a century. Because of the limits of low temperature, materials such extraordinary properties have not quite transformed the world in a way that they might have imagined. However, our discovery will break down these barriers and open the door to many potential applications. Dr. Diaz added, the room temperature superconductors can definitely change the world as we know it. In the U.S., electrical grids lose more than 5% of their energy through the process of transmission, so tackling this loss could potentially save billions of dollars and have an effect on the climate. So it's definitely something worth checking out if you're into it. Yeah, it's at the bbc.com if you want to read more about it. There are a few other sources if you search around on the Googles. We've only got about a little under 6 minutes to go before it's time for the DGC. So stay around. Listen up. There's lots of other shows going on, too. Anon Radio has a pretty busy schedule. You can check it all out at anonradio.net. Today is October 15th, at least where I'm at. It's still October 15th. It's 1924 UTC on October 15th. Duh. So, what day is that? Today's Thursday? Yeah, today's Thursday. I know what time it is. I forgot to advertise yesterday would have been, or I guess earlier today would have been the Vintage Computer Open Mic. So, what's happening today? Let's see. There's Meet Us to Me, Dubious Goals Committee. And then tomorrow, we got Myocyte with Peef, Movement Through Thought with Quintus. I think he was ending that show. Hey, Ouroboroso, welcome. And then we got Hear Now the Words and Something Blue. So that's all tomorrow. Today, it's Dubious Goals Committee. And then we're cruising along until later in the night. So enjoy, but definitely check out the schedule, nonradio.net. There's a lot of shows on this channel, on this station. All right, so this is something that's kind of fun that I want to bring up. I didn't find any news stories, but it's just a piece of news that I think you can use. The LibreOffice from the Document Foundation posted an open letter to Apache's OpenOffice. So 20 years ago, the code to OpenOffice was released, And today we say LibreOffice is the future of OpenOffice. Let's all get behind it. And so this letter basically shows the branch, the Git commit tree, and Apache, since it took over the project, has had 6 releases. Meanwhile, the LibreOffice group has had a whole lot, like 13 major releases and 87 minor releases, and over 15,000 commits, while OpenOffice has only had 595. So this is where we're at. So that's definitely the case where LibreOffice is doing great. Well, then Apache's response was to completely ignore this and talk about how you should only download from their official download site because it's the latest and greatest, even though they're like years behind in development work behind the LibreOffice or the Document Foundation. So anyway, just be sure, don't trust Apache. I guess you can trust them, but those guys have a fucking agenda, so I wouldn't trust any of their people that are making money. But that's just my 2 cents. I think that LibreOffice is way better. Definitely check them out. You can read more. The Document Foundation is at documentfoundation.org, and you can kind of see, if you just look up Apache, you can see the Apache Office thing. So yeah. You must demand genuine cassettes from the office. Anyway, that was just something that pissed me off, so I had to share it. What else? Well, France 24, in a surprise move, has a tech story. TrickBot and its 1 million zombie computers are owned. So tech giant Microsoft and the U.S. military intelligence agencies are taking on TrickBot, deeming the botnet one of the world's largest networks of computers controlled remotely by cyber criminals a threat to the U.S. presidential election. The network's been used to paralyze hospitals, retirement homes, banks, and even city governments. Considered one of the largest and most active cyber criminal networks in the world, the group has just weathered an assault by Microsoft and U.S. Cyber Command, the military equivalent of the National Security Agency. The stakes are high, calling TrickBot one of the world's most infamous botnets and prolific distributors of ransomware. Microsoft describes ransomware as one of the largest threats to the upcoming elections. The adversaries can use ransomware to infect a computer system used to maintain voter rolls or report on election night results, seizing on those systems at a prescribed hour optimized to sow chaos and distrust. Pretty scary, I think. And in case you thought, oh, well, at least we can trust the government. Well, kind of. U.S. President Donald Trump's Twitter election campaign account was finally unblocked on Thursday after social media company temporarily restricted it, saying a video from the account about Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden's son violated the rules. The video posted referred to a New York Post story from Wednesday that contained those details. The campaign has 2.2 million followers. That it was reposting the video Twitter doesn't want you to watch. Yeah, so pretty wild. And really, just the only other headline I've got. Oh, hey, Kyle Rittenhouse isn't going to face charges, so I guess feel free to kill people.
Well,
there's no justice. The purge is happening.
Time's come to an end.
Not really.
Thanks for listening.
But it's really sad.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks a lot.
And every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.